Hi, Tony DeFalco and Carolina Errata. Welcome to KABU. Huh.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, thanks.
Tony and Carolina work at Verde, which is an important member of the group now gathering signatures for a Portland City initiative to establish a Portland Clean Energy Fund. So, Carolina and Tony, why don't you introduce yourself, introduce Verde, and introduce the Portland Clean Energy Fund.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having us on. It's a pleasure to be here. As Bill said, my name is Tony DeFalco, and I'm the deputy director at Verde. And Verde is a nonprofit based in Northeast Portland. We've been around for about 15 years. And our goal is to build environmental wealth in communities. And what we mean by that is the opportunity to create jobs in the environmental sector, to have some of the environmental goodies like solar panels, bike lanes, parks in neighborhoods that are populated by low-income people and people of color, and to create more opportunities for community members to have stewardship over those resources. We also lead Living Cully, which is an effort to to reinterpret sustainability as an anti-poverty strategy, which involves focusing on housing, transportation, community organizing, and green infrastructure in the Cully neighborhood in Portland.
You're even building housing, aren't you?
Yes.
You're working with a mobile home development. You've got all sorts of housing.
The Living Cully initiative is really exciting because it puts people of color and low-income people in the driver's seat of how they want their neighborhood to change and to become a place that is very livable, but also a place that remains affordable so that you have these improvements in mobile home parks in the all throughout the neighborhood that people can stay in, people that live there now, rather than being forced out as the neighborhood improves.
That is just anti-displacement strategy is the word, I guess. Carolina, you're part of the environmental sustainability as a poverty program. Why don't you explain what do you do at Verde?
So my name is Carolina Irreta Gonzalez, and I'm the community energy advocate with Verde. That means that we're looking to identify energy projects that either generate energy or conserve energy in the neighborhood and benefit the residents within the Cully neighborhood. So really looking for the way that these projects benefit low-income communities and communities of color here in Portland.
Tell us about the initiative. You're really involved in the Portland Clean Energy Fund, the initiative to create the fund. Tell us about the initiative, and then we can talk about its components and how they would be really great for Cully residents and, in fact, the whole planet.
Yes. So Verde is one of the lead organizations, along with a group of community of color organizations here in the city of Portland, leading the Portland Clean Energy Fund. This would create a 1% business license surcharge on large retail businesses. That means businesses that make over $1 billion nationally and $500 million locally. And this would create a pot of money that would then be available for nonprofit organizations to apply to do green energy projects here locally within the city of Portland. It would also provide opportunities for job training and contracting, and it would greatly benefit a lot of low-income residents and communities of color here in Portland.
Mm-hmm. Greatly benefit in so many ways. One of them is the jobs that it creates, and the other one is clean air and water and housing stability. Tell us about the energy part in specific, the kinds of things that you're looking to do, and community energy in specific.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit more about the work that I do. So like I said, we're at Verde trying to identify energy projects that we can move forward in the neighborhood. And we actually spent last year developing a neighborhood scale energy plan called the Living Cully Community Energy Plan. And this identifies both renewable energy pilots within the neighborhood and energy conservation efforts. And we definitely are looking for pilots that support affordable housing. And so one of the challenges now that we have these pilots is identifying the funds that are available to actually develop these projects. And so the Portland Clean Energy Fund would make funds available so that communities could develop, for example, a solar array on a community institution to
like the St. Charles Church.
Yes, that's one of our projects.
Yeah. You know, your plan is great. People should look at it the web. How do they get to it?
I think the simplest way to get to the Living Cully Community Energy Plan is to go to the livingcully.org website. And there you can find like the little box that says, what do we do? And there's a section that says Living Cully Community Energy. And if you follow that link, you'll get to the plan.
You get to the plan. The plan is really interesting and attractive.
Yes. And I wanted to say, like, you know, we're one of the projects that we're looking to develop is a solar array on top of the St. Charles Church, which is a community institution in Cully and really supports our community organizing within the neighborhood. It supports our anti-displacement efforts. It provides a lot of services to low-income members within the neighborhood and the greater city of Portland. And so putting a solar array, and we're looking to actually put storage on this site too, would help offset the church's utility bills. And if we get storage on there, it would also serve as a resiliency center within the neighborhood, meaning that if there was ever some type of power outage within the neighborhood, within the city of Portland that lasted a long time, St. Charles would still be able to generate electricity and people would be able to go there to, you know, plug in their cell phones or their laptops. They're planning on continuing to run electricity for the kitchen so people would be able to store medicine and food on site. So it's a really great project. The challenge being the funding. There aren't a lot of funding streams for community-driven initiatives like these.
Yeah, and there are so many possibilities in Cully. How many people live in the Cully neighborhood?
13,300 people.
13,000. You're a large village, actually. Yeah. And in some ways, you are a village since you're sort of, you're really in the city, but you're sort of isolated from the city, too, by Columbia Boulevard. A great deal of the acreage of Cully is that industrial district. Mm-hmm. This is KABU Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick here for the old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to Tony DeFalco and Carolina Irada. We're talking about the Verde project that is really reconstructing, has at least the possibilities of reconstructing the Cully neighborhood. There are so many wonderful possibilities, and we were talking particularly about, there's housing displacement that they're dealing with, they're building housing. It's an amazing project, actually. If it was in every community in Portland, you would see, and they were as successful as you, it seems to me we could be dealing with the climate crisis and the jobs crisis. Both would be, in fact, solved, at least in Portland. But it does take funds and finances to both build the low-income housing and affordable housing, to rehabilitate housing. It also takes funds to build the parks and the bikeways and things so people aren't using their car all the time and the rest of it and have much healthier lifestyles. And, of course, it takes some amount of money to build the energy stuff, which I'd like to get into a little bit more right now. It seems to me the solar revolution is on in the world and in the United States, and the fossil fuel companies. Coal is dead and will be finished and when we can force the investor-owned utilities to shutter their plants. They want to just keep running them until the cost of repairing them is greater than the cost of moving towards other energy supplies. But that has to be stopped, and as well as the Chinese are, to some extent, trying to cut their coal plants, and the rest of the world has to, too. In any event, though, the energy revolution is on. And renewable energy can be really the centerpiece of jobs and building a culture. Let's talk a little bit more about the solar possibilities just in Cully as an example. You have that big industrial area. There's a lot of ruined land there and a lot of parking areas and a lot of storage things. And Have you been thinking about somehow getting very large supply of panels? I mean, a big panel farm right on that highway there. It seems to me it's quite possible.
Yeah. One of the projects that we identified in our energy plan was actually a community solar project, hopefully located within the neighborhood so that people would be able to see, you know, a large solar array within the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge being that it is an urban space, you know, we would have to find a pretty large, either open, empty lot or partner with some type of large, like, industrial partner, or possibly, like, someone else within the neighborhood that has a large rooftop capacity so that we could build, you know, a solar farm big enough that would support multiple families. And I want to say that I agree that I do think that, you know, there's so much opportunity in solar, but it's really inaccessible right now for low-income families for so many different reasons. One being just the upfront cost at the moment, like putting solar panels on your roof can cost anywhere between like $8,000 and $15,000.
Or more.
Yeah. And people don't have that type of money. Also, we have a large percentage of renters in the neighborhood, so they don't have ownership over their roofs. And we have a lot of low-income homeowners that before solar, they need, you know, weatherization, they need new roofs, new windows. And so there's so much opportunity with solar, but it's really inaccessible at this time.
This is KBOO Radio 90.7 FM, Portland. Bill Resnick here with two guests from Verde, a wonderful organization in Cully that is attempting to really reconstruct Cully and keep the people there, build a beautiful neighborhood and end displacement. Part of the major part of it is environmental sustainability and the jobs it creates. Let's talk about how important renewable energy is now. And Carolina discussed the plans that need money. But why is it so important now to move towards small-scale renewable energy, not huge grids, not huge solar farms in New Mexico serving the whole region or in Arizona? All of that is extremely expensive and extremely time-consuming to build and extremely vulnerable to breakdowns. Community energy is a whole nother matter. Why don't we talk about that just for a minute or two even?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people are very aware of climate change, what's happening globally, and how our current energy system, you know, is dependent on fossil fuels. And if we really want to begin to make a difference, we need to look at alternative energies. And so renewable energy and solar is one opportunity. I think people are excited about solar just because you can build it on a smaller scale. And so it's more accessible for individual households and businesses and communities. And so I think one, just like the opportunity to begin investing in technology that actually helps our environment rather than depleting our environment is one great benefit. Another one is just that our energy infrastructure, the grid, is old and it needs to be reinvested in. Pieces of it need to be rebuilt. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity right now to talk about how the grid is going to be modernized and what benefits we want to see out of those investment projects. There's also like a lot of opportunity right now to begin looking at, you know, if it's possible, like what smaller grids might look like, how we're able to actually generate energy ourselves to supply to the grid. I think...
Instead of building huge, huge grids, huge high-volume grids, mm-hmm. which lose electricity all the way, they lose a tremendous amount of electricity when you're running 100 or 300 or 1,000 miles, these lines. Microgrids, small grids would be really resilient mm-hmm. and cheap to build and by ordinary people. You don't have to go to the huge construction companies.
Yeah. And I would say that, like, you know, one of the reasons that we have, like, this monopoly system is because it's supposedly cheaper to build at a really large scale. It's supposedly cheaper for producing energy. But what we've seen here in the Cully neighborhood is that for low-income households, you know, using electricity isn't cheaper, like with the current system. We talk a lot about energy burden. I think there's an energy crisis among low-income households where they're paying a lot out of pocket to heat their homes. And with climate change, we're beginning to see hotter summers, and so there's also
cooling.
Yeah, cooling is going to become a you know, a very important need. And so renewable energy, our goal and our vision is, how do we make sure that our communities, low-income communities, can build this infrastructure so that they can bring down their energy cost, and it really is cheaper for all families, all households, and not just more affluent households.
Yeah, I'd share two quick points for your listeners. One is that the number one reason for payday loans is utility bills. And to me, that is a shameful thing in our society, that in order to heat your home, keep your family warm, or keep your family cool, that you have to advance your payday, your paycheck, to be able to cover that. We need to stop that. The second piece, though, is that we are very fortunate here in Portland and in Multnomah County to have passed 100% renewable resolutions that set us on a pathway to 100% renewable energy consumed in the city of Portland and Multnomah County by 2035. And more importantly for our efforts is we were able to create 2% of that energy to come from community-owned sources. That's about $1 billion worth of energy. So we have roughly 17 years to start building that infrastructure, and that takes money. And so that brings me back to the Portland Clean Energy Fund, where we need to really accelerate both the adoption of these, but also the economic benefits of these into low-income people's pockets.
You know, there's one last thing, folks, that I wanted to talk about that we're going to have to do at another time, which is discussing the social, what you call social enterprises. I've always thought that the model we really should be promoting is worker ownership and worker control through cooperatives. But your social enterprises, actually, some of them would be cooperatives, and some of them would be more ordinary kind of nonprofit forms, but with a whole lot more worker involvement, decent pay and benefits. Why don't you talk about that for a minute, Tony?
Sure.
I might not be able
to. No, it's exciting, and we'd be real honored to come back and share with you more about that. Social enterprises are businesses that operate underneath of the nonprofit entity. So we have two right now, Verde Builds, which is a general contractor and is building the solar array on top of St. Charles Church, and Verde Landscape, which is a commercial landscaper that does stormwater and tree planting and other ways of reducing stormwater into our system. They're not worker-owned cooperatives, but they are heavily investing in low-income people through training programs that are designed and tailored to fit the needs of individuals coming into the programs, and they produce these broader social benefits and environmental benefits. So we'd love to talk more about that in the future.
Going back to the Portland Clean Energy Fund, we definitely recognize that we want our communities, communities of color here in Portland, low-income communities, to be able to participate in these new and emerging technologies, which currently aren't accessible unless you have the money. And so we have the vision, we have the ideas, and now what we need is the funding stream. And so the Portland Clean Energy Fund creates that funding mechanism so that we can access solar, we can access energy efficiency technologies, we can access the jobs and bring that to our neighborhoods.
It's a really wonderful vision, but of course it requires money, and the PCEF, the Portland Clean Energy Fund, will offer, if it passes and the initiative gets on the ballot and it passes, and that's not guaranteed.
That's a good point. So that's why we really need folks to come out and help. And, you know, for cable listeners out there, I really urge you to get involved in the campaign. Go to portlandcleanenergyfund.com. You'll see there events and upcoming opportunities that you can get trained to gather signatures. You can donate. You can come out to hear about the proposals. And it is going to take all of us because, you know, this is – both an innovative idea to create this new source of funding for renewable energy and energy efficiency that prioritizes the needs of low-income people and people of color, and brings together environmental groups and community of color-serving organizations, and creates a sustainable source of funding that nonprofits can access to build this infrastructure, to create jobs, to create job training opportunities. But it's going to take all of us to win, because, you know, this 25 other cities out there are ready to replicate this if we can win here. And that makes the larger corporations nervous. And so, you know, this is a chance right now here in May and June to come together to say, hey, yes, we want this positive future. And in November then to say yes again, to say yes to something that moves us forward out of this dark, you know, past of coal production that has harmed our communities, to a place where instead our communities are in charge. We're benefiting from the energy production, and it's making us more resilient over time.
Tony DeFalco and Carolina Errada, thanks a lot for talking to us today. It was wonderful.
Thanks, Bill, for having us.